This is the CineSnob Podcast.
Hi, and welcome to episode 227 of the CineSnob Podcast. I'm Jared Kingery.
I'm Cody Villafania.
Cody, I just noticed you're wearing your CKY shirt. Look at you.
Yeah, I thought it would be it was good synergy for what we're talking about today.
You were super into that, I assume?
Yeah. I was into the... I mean, it's funny. It all kind of started with Jackass, where, you know, Jackass was the combination of, like, Johnny Knoxville's people and then CKY, which was a band, and then it was a group with, you know, Bam and Ryan Dunn and Brandon DiCamillo and Raekwon and a bunch of people, Chris Rabb, who appears briefly in Jackass Forever. So, like, when I was a teenager watching Jackass, I went out and bought the CKY videos at Best Buy. And then I bought CKY, the band's first album, second album that day. And then CKY became my favorite band for very many years.
Oh, look at you. You were an adorable 13-year-old wearing something that says, that means can't kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Did you buy it?
Nobody knew that.
Yeah, I know. Where'd you get the shirt? Was it at Spencer Gifts? Or what is it?
This shirt?
Yeah, because I remember seeing that a lot there in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I mean, this particular shirt I got at a concert.
Oh, okay.
But I did get I bought merch directly from the band and stuff from their website. There was some stuff in, like, Hot Topic, I think, for a while, but...
It was either that or Spencer Gifts... Or Spencer's, I guess it's just called now.
Not if they Spencer got it into like Spencer's, that's a nice crossover.
Well, I mean, Spencer's is all like just like things to hold weed now.
Right.
It's like things to hold weed and vibrators.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be like just weird shit, but now it's like a Ninja Turtles jar with a cork in it, like wink. Anyway, we'll get to that in a minute, but it has been a little while since we rapped at you.
Yeah, I think it was our
top 10,
right?
I said that episode that I thought I had COVID. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't. But I did get COVID like the next week.
Foreshadowing.
And it was way worse than what I felt, which was a good time. But that's all over now. So let me tell you, like, that was like the day that I found out I had COVID was like the first day I had found a test like randomly at a store. And I was like, I'm gonna go ahead and take this. I feel a little bad. I'm like, ah, shit. Now it's positive. Now I have to, my wife made me stay in one room of the house, this room here. And like,
how was that any different than any other day?
It did suck though. Cause I was like I just kept wanting to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess, like, I just want to leave this hallway. But she never got it, so it must have worked, our half-assed isolation. So
that's what I've heard. I had another friend whose wife had it, and they basically just maintained social distancing, and nobody else got it. So...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like we were sterilizing everything either. Like, she'd leave... Mm-hmm. Like a plate of food outside my door.
Like you were a prisoner?
Yeah. Like soup's on. And I'd come get it. And then, like, the cats would go, you know, from room to room carrying diseases. And they never spread it. So it sucked. It was like a flu. Well, it wasn't the worst I've ever been sick. But the stigma around it all, because it's so... like unknowable. So like if I just had the flu, my wife would have been like, she would have been like, kind of stay away from me. But it wouldn't have been like, isolate yourself in the other part of the house. So that's what COVID's done. And I'm tired of taking those fucking tests. So
yeah.
Anyway, it's all good now. All negative. So
good times. It's negative.
Aww. So I think I'm good forever, right? No, I had it.
No, you have immunity now. You're good.
Good. Like our, like the real president has now. Yeah. Anyway, it's not that funny because it's too real. Anyway, so in that meantime that we were off, Cody, you went to the Sundance Film Festival.
Yeah.
Which was, again, all virtual. So.
Yes, it was. It was virtual. This year, I enhanced my experience a little bit by setting up a projector in my living room and watching some movies. I ended up watching about 32 to 33 movies this year.
Wow.
Over the span of like a week. So it was intense. But yeah, it was, Sundance, again, nails the virtual experience. You know, I went to a couple of virtual festivals and nothing worked quite as smoothly as the platform that Sundance used. I definitely had some favorites. You know, last year there were a couple of movies that were like far and away standout movies that, you know, my top two movies of the year I saw at Sundance last year, mm-hmm. and they never changed from January on. This year, I don't think that there was anything like that for me that I can say will hold up into my top 10 until the end of the year. There were a few standouts, though. One was called Good Luck to You, Leo Grand, which I kind of wonder if they're going to keep that title. It was purchased by Fox Searchlight, Searchlight Pictures, to be released on Hulu. But it is it's like this comedy where a dramedy. I guess we'll call it, where Emma Thompson plays a retired woman who hires like a gigolo.
We're still fine with that term. Yes.
Okay. Yes. A sex worker. And he comes in and they end up having conversations and she's hesitant. And basically it sort of almost plays out like a play with them, kind of talking to each other and then doing other stuff. Really good, really sharply written. Emma Thompson is amazing in it. I from what I understand, they're going to make a Oscar push for her for that. So there was that. There was a documentary I really liked called My Old School, which was a documentary about this story. I don't know if you... So this story was, I guess, big in Scotland, but I don't know if it ever made it over here. Tell me if you remember this, but there was... in the early 90s, there was a guy who, and this is not really a spoiler here, but this was in the early 90s in Scotland. A guy, someone enrolled into a school, like a high school, and ended up basically posing as a 16-year-old, but it was really like a 35-year-old man. Posing as a 16-year-old, and basically fooling his entire classmates. And so basically it's a story recounting, people getting to know him and then when the information came out and then what the fallout from it was.
Isn't that the plot of Never Been Kissed?
It is kind of Never Been Kissed-ish, yeah. Except for the guy doing it had different reasons than, you know.
Let me guess. Were they gross and disturbingly sexual?
No, not at all. Yeah, it was not gross. It was not sexual. Yeah. And so basically the guy didn't want to show his face. Right. So the guy agreed to be voice recorded. So Alan Cumming basically does like a lip sync the interviews. So like you hear the audio of the real guy and Alan Cumming is doing like a lip sync acting thing. So it's really cool. It's right up my wheelhouse. I love stories about like weirdos, like people who do like really
break ridiculous the social
stuff.
Contract and
yeah. So like it's not quite as crazy as something like Finders Keepers, but it reminded me a lot of The Imposter. Do you remember that documentary, The Imposter?
I did. I never actually saw it, but I remember the story. That's the one that's the like San Antonio based, correct?
Yeah. Basically a guy, someone went missing and then this French guy, resurfaced using the name. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So those were my top two movies. There were some other good things that I saw. After Yang, a movie that's coming out in March, I think was really good. There was, this movie called Living that I thought was really good, which was it's a remake of a Kurosawa movie. Ikuru. It's a remake of that movie starring Bill Nighy, the actor guy.
The science guy, not the
as I call him.
The actor guy, not the science guy.
Yeah, Bill Nighy, the actor guy. really, really good. And then there was a lot of stuff that was all right. You know, a lot of stuff that, that I thought was solid but unspectacular. So those were my highlights. Good luck to you, Leo Grant is going to be Searchlight later this year after Yang is an A24 movie that'll be out in March. My Old School, I don't know if My Old School ever got distribution. I'm looking that up right now, actually. I hope it does because I thought it was really good, but
After Yang is probably the one I've heard of the most out of those because of it's probably because it's A24.
Yeah, for sure. So, but again, the experience was great. Hopefully someday we'll get to go to Utah for Sundance, but as long as they keep it virtual, I prefer sitting on my couch.
You should, if they keep it virtual, watch it on a projector, put on a really big coat, and then walk into something really cold.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it's cold outside, just go stand out there for a good 20, 30, 45 minutes. Then come back in and watch the next movie.
That's the best way to recreate it, I think.
Pay a lot of money for food. Drink really low alcohol beer because it's Utah.
I did watch a documentary on Mormons. There was this documentary called The Mission about these. Like kids, they were basically teenagers, 16 to 19 years old, and they were being sent on their missions to Finland. And so it followed, like, several different kids being ignored on the streets of Finland.
Riding bicycles.
Yeah, probably
a little more bicycle-friendly there in Finland, I would imagine.
You know, there weren't a lot of bicycles in the movie. It was a lot of... I think something like they had like maybe 250 Mormons in the entire country of Finland. It was what you may call a tall order to try and convince people.
What's the major religion in Finland? Is it? I mean, I assume it's Christianity, but it probably is not. I would imagine it's not super.
It's
open to. Like, there's not a lot of people searching, I would assume.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It looks like it is, according to Wikipedia, which we all know is, you know, the truth, 67% is Christian, Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland. 29.4% are unaffiliated, 1.1% Orthodox Christian, 0.9% are other Christians, and 0.8% are... religions other than that.
So there's like no Catholicism. So
yeah,
maybe there's nobody looking. I don't know. Anyway,
been your religion in Finland portion of our show.
Anything else before we move on?
No, not that I can think of. Thanks to the folks at Sundance for letting me in.
Are you doing South By virtually?
Yeah, I hope so. As it stands right now, it's in person too. I don't know if that's going to. Yeah, it's still in person.
I thought they were still doing a hybrid. I haven't kept up.
No.
Ooh.
But I think isn't Austin still in stage 4 COVID restrictions?
Last I heard, it was stage 5.
Oh, stage 5.
But you know, like none of that means anything. Like it's only like what they want to do. Like nobody, the city can't do anything about it,
right?
But we're also in a boil water notice right now, so we're doing well here in Austin.
Yeah, I can't imagine that South By can continue to take the loss of not having it in person. Just structurally speaking, just based on what I think we know about the way that Sundance is structured and how I think. Like something about like they don't make a lot of their money until like the festival. They don't make a lot of money apparently beforehand, which is I think why they had to fire so many people.
Yeah,
when it was canceled.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what. I mean, they make it's only on badges clearly. But I assume like these affiliated venues either pay for the opportunity to participate, or they rent them out. I have no idea. I would assume that all of the like music clubs pay to participate because there's just so many, like, you know, South By isn't going to rent out every shitty club on 6th Street.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I don't know that it'll ever be, that it's going to get back to being the same as it was, hell, ever, but mostly in the next couple of years. Like, because it was a madhouse.
Yeah.
Anyway. God, it's already been 2 years since the, oh man, it's never going to end, is it?
Nope.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to reviews.
Here are this week's reviews.
This week we've got Jackass Forever.
If you're gonna be dumb, you gotta be tough. When you get knocked down, you gotta get back up.
If they trust us to go to the bathroom, they're less intelligent than I thought.
Knife in the drawer, but I know enough. Gonna be done, gotta be tough.
You're still blowing people up. As if life's not hard enough.
This guy's one badass dude.
Oh man, I'm on Jackass.
It's a Texas rat snake.
Venomous?
Francis hits harder than any heavyweight in MMA. I told Aaron it was a lightweight.
That's not a lightweight. What are you guys talking about?
This is, of course, the fourth film in the Jackass series. I think a series that both you and I have expressed our mighty fondness for over the years. You, of course, are wearing a CKY shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it's been now 12 years since Jackass 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Jackass Forever. It was delayed from late last year to February, to this weekend. Cody, tell us about Jackass Forever, what you thought of it.
Yeah, so I'll kind of skip the plot description, it's not really necessary. It's honestly really hard to kind of objectively criticize something like this as a film, because it's just, I mean, it's basically any what you would get on the TV show, except for a grander scale and nicer cameras, and that's about it. But yeah, so it's been a while since the last Jackass movie, and it's been a franchise that has sort of, you know, again, when it aired, which would have been what, like 2000
and I believe the first episode aired in 2000. I think it went off the air in 2002.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
So, you know, a lot of my formative years were spent watching Jackass, and I was never a big stunt guy myself, so I was not part of the generation that tried to repeat anything.
You weren't throwing yourself off the roof or anything?
No, I wasn't doing that or doing shopping cart stuff at Target or whatever. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy it quite a bit, and so you know, as the guys of the Jackass crew get older, you know, this is probably the last time most of them will be doing anything that major. I know that Johnny Knoxville had said that this is like the last time he would ever put his life on the line for a stunt. And so what you get ultimately is sort of Johnny Knoxville taking the role of like kind of like host slash instigator, prime instigator on these things, which
like
he always had a hand.
Ringmaster too. Like,
yeah. Ringmaster is a good word for it. And so, you know, he's less doing the stunts, although he does a handful of stuff, and more sort of like the guy who's, you know, twisting the knife, which he's very good at, and he's very good at host and stuff like that. His fingers on the button on a lot of these things. If you could summarize what you're seeing, I would say it falls into a few different categories. One is like doing like painful stuff like falling and jumps and stuff, which is mostly left to this crew of young people. So there's like four or five younger cast members that have joined, and they're taking the brunt of like the physical harm stuff. And then the second category I would say is like animal stuff, which they, you know, everyone gets bit by a variety of different things. Spiders, bees,
snapping turtles,
scorpions, turtles. Yeah. And then category three is dick and ball torture, which is which is probably the most it's probably more male nudity than I've ever seen in a movie before, I think, by quite a large margin.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So, like, basically, Chris Pontius is only here to do stuff with his dick, basically. Like, that's his entire, that's the entirety of his appearance. I will say that I think the sort of MVP of the movie is probably Aaron, who probably has to do the most stuff. You know, he's put through the cup test. You know, he's put through some of the psychological stuff as well. There's a scene in the trailer that involves like a bear that people would, you know, it's in the trailer, right. But yeah. And I think it works to a fine degree. You know, to me, this is the least, for me, the least, successful of the movies. Cause it feels like it's, for me, it perpetually feels like something's missing. Like, I feel like there's a lack of a few things. I think one is a lack of like dumb little stuff, like the interstitials that are in there sometimes that are like a minute long and really stupid but work. Like there's a few of them, like the one that's in the trailer of like riding the bike into the
the matte facade painting thing. Or whatever.
Yeah. And then I think there's a level of like cleverness that might be missing from some of these things. Where like you see it occasionally in one that I'm sure you're going to talk about, which is one where they play like a trick with lights and a snake, which again has multiple levels when there's that second door, right? Which is like, mm-hmm. Okay, now this thing's been funny and now we're going to make it funny all over again, right? That's the thing that I think Jackass was really great at, was that having multiple layers to it. Like in that you see it, there's the one that's, you know, again, Like if you remember, one of my favorite ones from, I think, Jackass 2, maybe 3, was when they put the bees in the limo and...
That's 2. Yeah, I literally watched all three first movies the other day.
They put the bees in the limo, and again, that would be fine, but then they poured marbles outside of the door. And so, like, the second they get out, everyone, like, eats shit on the marbles. Like, it's the stuff like that I wish there was more of that, like clever layers to it. And I think they try to hit it with that last stunt, but that last stunt was a nothing. The last thing in this movie with the Vomitron was a pretty big miss for a finale for me, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. It's there's a lot of show to it.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of theatrics to it, and then I think it's missing like Bam. Missing Bam and Ryan Dunn dearly. I told you this, and I'm curious to know if you felt this after watching the first three, or if your mind changed, where I thought Ryan Dunn was like a very integral part of the team.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, and part of it too, is that I grew up on the CKY movies and Ryan Dunn was like, you know, one of the main guys, if not, you know, him and Bam were the main two guys in that. And so, you know, Ryan Dunn was really funny, and he would also do, like, again, he would not back out or back down from anything. And then Bam also, you know, some of the clever stuff that I'm talking about, Bam was a big part of kind of, like, building the really, like, clever bits of it. And it's unfortunate that he's going through whatever he's going through and wasn't part of it. But I think it's missing some element of that, like, cleverness, that multi-layer thing, and then that little bit of psychological torture that again is in present in that one with the lights and the snake that I think is the best thing in the movie. And again, like, you know, you don't have the finale of like the with Aaron getting kidnapped or whatever that was in, I think that
Jackass
was two.
Number two.
And what was the finale of three?
It is the God, what was it?
Because number one is the Ryan Dunn car up the ass, and then two
The first one doesn't really have a big finale, like a long finale. It's the Ryan Dunn thing, right? I mean, I know, but it's like it's not. Do you mean like final stunt?
Yes.
Oh God, what was three? they're all running together for me now. I don't remember. They all have like a showy ending, except for this shit, man. It's all running together. Does Forever have like a really scripted ending other than that last stunt?
No, it's that last stunt, and then it's the credits with that. So there's no like big theatrical dance number or whatever.
Because like the other three have those. Like three has like the where Knoxville's gonna blow up the stuff, and then the water like floods them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember like the Aaron McGahee the terrorist thing isn't mm-hmm. is great. Like it starts off really racist,
mm-hmm.
But then it kind of flips the joke around mm-hmm. to be about him getting the shit scared out of him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Finish your thought. I don't want to.
Yeah, I think you alluded to this when we were talking about it. There's less like pranks on unsuspecting people. I have to imagine that maybe that's a COVID thing, because you get hints of it like in the furniture store. You get a little bit of that, but like there is a shockingly small amount of like of Knoxville in the old man makeup, which I figured would be easy for him to do now because he doesn't really have to do anything for it. but
it's not that
yeah.
old.
Yeah. So again, for me, it's a mixed bag. I think it works more often than not. However, I do think that is the weakest of the movies, and that's kind of where I land with it.
Yeah, you know, I rewatched all three of the first films last night, and I was sort of taken aback by my not remembering a lot of how the first film was basically just pranking people. And I don't know if you remember that at all, but there's a shockingly low amount of like the ratio of like crazy stunts and like shit humor, you know, dick and ball humor to like fucking with normal people
mm-hmm.
is really low. You know, there's some great stuff like the golf course, air horn, and then, you know, the car in the ass is funny because the doctor is so strangely concerned with Ryan Dunn's character afterward. But watching that one and then watching how it evolved into two, where I feel like the stunts really start to take their own life and they get really creative. Like that's where you first start to see stuff. You get the Fire Hose Rodeo,
mm-hmm.
which is a great little skit. You get the major gross out with Chris Pontius drinking horse cum.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Dave England eating horse shit with like 3-6 Mafia in the background?
Yeah.
And they just start barfing. And then with three is clearly the high water mark. It just works all the way around as a film, as a Jackass film. It's got the photography is because like the first film, it's shot on video, like mini DV, and it looks like shit. But you know, it looks like the series.
Mm-hmm.
The second one gets a little more cinematic. By the third one is where they have the hyper slow motion cameras.
Yep.
And you get some really great, just some really great looking stuff. The fourth one I think looks great. You know, it does feel like I think I told you when I came out of it, it's definitely missing something, and it is. I believe it's Bam. And by extension, Ryan Dunn, because I had forgotten watching those first three films how close the two of them were.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're basically partners in the films. You know, Ryan Dunn, of course, died, God, 11 years ago now.
Yeah.
And then Bam has some sort of issue with alcohol and I don't know what else. But those sketches, like with his parents,
yeah,
are some great, like bizarre psychological torture. Mm-hmm. Especially how like easygoing Phil Margera is about stuff. And then the one I had forgotten, it's in Jackass 2, number two, where they replace Phil with Preston Lacey
mm-hmm.
in bed with April. And it's just so well, like it's so stupid, but it's also so weird and well done. And it's great. And then the gorilla one in Jackass 3 is that's it's such a great stunt, and it the gorilla, it's Chris Pontius dressed as a gorilla, mm-hmm. and he looks so real for a gorilla costume. And then the other one is where they glue Bam's hand to both Phil and Preston, and he rips out the hair, and then they glue Wee Man to Preston. Do you remember mm-hmm. that one? Anyway, yeah. So there's a lot of that stuff that seems to be missing, like spur of the moment stuff. You know, like, and again, maybe that's COVID. Maybe they're not all able to hang out together and pull this stuff together. Because, like, you know, the super glue stunt started with them gluing Bam's hand to pull hair off. But then they decide, because they're there, they're going to glue Wee Man to Preston.
Mm-hmm.
There doesn't seem to be any of that, like, kind of tossed off stuff here. Like the,
yeah.
It's fine. It's just it doesn't feel the same. And you know, probably that's COVID. Definitely that's missing Ryan Dunn, who can't be. You know, he's dead. Bam is dealing with his own demons, whatever they might be. And then everybody getting old.
Yeah.
You know, Steve-O looks really old in this movie. God bless Dave England and Aaron McGeehee. They're the two original cast members who take the most shit.
Yeah.
Then the new people, I don't know how much you know about some of them.
Nothing.
Like Jasper Dolphin, who brings his dad in, Dark Shark, who's like this crazy old ex-con. Jasper was part of Loiter Squad. Did you ever see Loiter Squad?
Mm-mm.
It's like a Jackass adjacent show. It was produced by Jeff Tremaine.
Okay.
And it was on Adult Swim, and it's Tyler the Creator, who is a fucking asshole. I don't really care for Tyler the Creator, but Tyler the Creator gets a pretty sizable role here in this movie. But anyway, Jasper's part of that crew, so he's already got a personality built, which I wasn't. You know, I don't know that it fits terribly well with this Jackass stuff, but then you have the woman, Rachel Wolfson, who, like, was just on Instagram, and, like, Johnny Knoxville reached out to her, like, liked her stuff and asked her to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the one who gets probably the biggest bump, one of them is some guy named Poopies.
Yeah.
And then another giant fat guy named Zach Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another guy named Eric Menaka who was in Action Point, who doesn't really get a lot to do. He's the guy that rides into the matte painting on the bicycle.
Right.
Poopies and Zach Holmes are the only two that get really, that get a lot of like good screen time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because they're in that the night vision,
yes,
sketch, and Zach Holmes has this. He runs into the second room and just gets hit with a table of mouse traps, and it's just it's such a great sequence. It's, you know, nothing else ever really lives up to it in the movie, but you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, they Jackass 3 they could have gone out with. This one's just sort of like an encore round.
Yeah. To me, and I don't know if you feel this way, but if you take away like all of the like the nudity, this doesn't read to me different than anything that would be on TV. Like it just feels like maybe like an episode of Jackass from there. Like there's nothing again, if you take away the grand scale of like a couple of the things, like the last bit or whatever, you know, like there's just a bunch of stunt, like, you know, getting bit by a or getting stung by a scorpion, or you know, that silent thing that has the skateboard guillotine or whatever, like that's just a thing, you know. So I think that the thing about the movies was that yes, some of them had stuff like that, but there was also, it just seemed like a grander scale to me previously.
Right. Yeah, I mean there's a lot of like stuff that's like in a small room. Like looking at the list, there's actually a list of the stunts on Wikipedia.
Oh yeah, I have that up too.
With like the biggest like the last stunt is with Jasper attempting to float a parachute while several fans are hooked up outside, and then you get to the Vomitron, which we both talked about was like it's a big giant stunt, but it's kind of a little too staged, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It has some weird funny stuff in it, but the pig semen, I think, is another one that's pretty great. But yeah, I mean, look, this is a weird comparison, but this feels like Jackass 3, which I believe was released in the same year, feels a lot like Toy Story 3 to me. Like, mm-hmm. here's your creative high point. You can go home now. That they wanted to come back for a 4, okay, it's fine. But you're not really doing anything. Like, you hit the mountaintop.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like, it's nice to see you again, but it's just not the same.
Right.
And by no means do I think this is a bad movie. It's just like, I don't think Toy Story 4 is a bad movie. It's just, there's something missing that can't be recaptured because Ryan Dunn is gone, because Bam is somehow mentally unstable or ill. I don't know what. And you know, everybody's just old. You know, there's a lot of Jeff Tremaine in this movie.
Yeah.
Which he's been kind of part of the movies before, but he's really like, him and Knoxville are really like, it's basically Knoxville, Jeff Tremaine, and Chris Pontius as sort of like a, they're all three sort of just watching along. Pontius at least like will smush his dick in a plastic thing. And, I should have brought over my Chris Pontius toy they gave out at the theater.
Oh, but yeah.
Anyway,
you know, I think, and what you think, you know, what's really interesting about this is I guess Knoxville decided he wanted to do this movie while Jeff Tremaine was in the middle of making Bad Trip. And I kind of wonder, like, you know, again, like, Bad Trip is so based on prank shit. And I kind of wonder, like, why that didn't transfer over after, you know, like, Tremaine can clearly still really execute that on a really high level. And I wonder if maybe, like, that's the future of like, Knoxville and Tremaine working together is can they find a way to tap into things like they did with Bad Trip and, like, truly make that crazy stunt stuff with the element of pranking that was, you know, part of the early Jackass movie stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta assume COVID just threw off the pranking, because there's like there's like the power pole thing.
Yeah,
and then there's one.
I love the power pole. That was great.
There's another. There's one more Irving Zisman.
Yeah,
I think there's, if I remember correctly from Jackass 3, I think there's only one Irving Zisman scene in that movie too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's where he's making out with his granddaughter. Uh-huh. Anyway, yeah. What's your grade for Jackass Forever, Cody?
You know, I give it a B minus. You know, glad to see old friends, but like, clearly they're not the same person.
Yeah, B minus for me too. So if you had to rank them, I think you already said this was your least favorite.
Mm-hmm.
What's your ranking?
So I've only seen 3 once in theaters. I don't think I've ever gone back to it, but I really like the first 2, but I think that 2 is better than 1. So it's definitely 2-1, and then I don't know if 3, where 3 lands in there, but 4 definitely last. So
It's definitely 3-2-1-4 for me.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's all like, I'll watch all of them again.
I feel, you know what? I have a soft spot for 1 because I was, you know, when that movie came out, that was what, 2003 maybe?
I believe it was, let's see. God, what was it? Jack, it was 2002.
So I was 13.
Okay.
And I remember going to the theater. My friend's mom went to the box office to buy the tickets and then just handed them to us. And then we ran in. So there were like 3 of us. And then Jackass 2 was one of my favorite movie going experiences of my life. I mean, just, like, and I unfortunately didn't get to experience Jackass 4 with a crowded theater,
mm-hmm.
But that's the way to do it. You know, it's like, again, Jackass 2, I've never heard that much laughter in a theater ever.
Oh, and to be clear, I was laughing my ass off at Jackass Forever. It was like maybe 15 people in the theater,
mm-hmm.
but I was laughing so much I was like devolving into coughing fits at times.
Yeah, it wasn't quite that for me, but, you know, there's so much funny shit in that first one. Like, I think I sent you the other day the golf course air horn thing.
Yeah, I was just talking about that earlier. Yeah.
Really cracks me up, amongst other things. So, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff they're in Japan, where just, like, weird shit is happening. But then the one you mentioned, like, in the first one, there's, like, the little tossed-off stuff, like Wee Man kicking himself in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if that was in the TV show or not, where they figured out anatomically that he was built to do that. Do you remember this?
Mm-mm.
Like, they actually talk about it on screen, and maybe it was one of the behind-the-scenes things or something, or, like, one of the 0.5 documentaries. But they were, like, Knoxville just notices one day, he's like, hey, Wee Man, because of his dwarfism and the way that his legs are, they realize he could kick himself in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just little stuff like that that I think this one is missing. But
and I'm looking at the Jackass 3 stunt list, and I don't remember most. I really don't remember almost any of this.
Really?
Yeah, it's been a while. I don't think I've seen it since theaters.
Okay, so yeah, the final stunt of Jackass 3 was the Poo Cocktail Supreme, where they bungee launched Steve-O in a porta potty,
mm-hmm.
like between two cranes, and there's just shit raining down the whole time. I like the Snake Pit one is pretty good too. Snake Pit one with Bear Margera,
who falls
into the truck.
But it very much plays the hits. You know, you get to see Lance Bangs almost puking over and over again.
Lance Bangs pukes in every movie.
Yeah.
This time he pukes into an N95 mask.
But I do like, it is very funny to me that like guys like Spike Jonze are clearly like on set. You can hear Spike Jonze's voice talking about like the intro, especially. You can hear Spike Jonze kind of direct it a little bit. And it's just very funny to me that he's played a big part in all of these movies. And yes, he's this very big prestige filmmaker that it's just
He's an Oscar-winning filmmaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how it's evolved to be something that's like so well-respected. And I think this helps too. I know we talked about it moving away from the pranks, you know, on people. And I think if it stayed that, it wouldn't be nearly as beloved as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that can run out of gas. But yeah. I think when it's like guys dicking around, you know, with each other, like making them do fucked up shit. Like, I think that's where the endurance of this comes from.
Yeah.
You know, the idea and that everybody's laughing at everyone. Like in the trailer we showed where Steve-O gets hit with a soccer ball coming out of the porta potty, like mm-hmm. he's immediately laughing his ass off.
Yeah.
And when he gets blown up in the porta potty, like he's laughing his ass off. And I think that's the important part is that everybody's in on the joke.
Well, that's the funny thing too about, I think again, this is Jackass 2, where they're walking into where they're like reading the sign and the text is getting smaller and they lean in and get punched by the thing. The great thing about that sketch, and I think again the thing that's missing, I think, is the spontaneous thing where someone gets it and then immediately they're like, who can we do this to next? Like, let's get the next person. And then suddenly the stunt evolves into like trying to like the what makes that one so funny is that like you're anticipating it every single time with every person. And I just wish there was more of that kind of thing.
I think that stunt is perfected in 3 with the big hand.
Mm-hmm.
That somehow they got in that one scene, somehow they get Aaron McGehee to carry like a big plate of soup.
I remember that.
How did you think this was going to end? And then there's a great shot from that inside the inside the room because they know Bam is coming and they put flower on the hand,
mm-hmm.
and you see Knoxville let it go from his angle, and you see the hand hit, and you just see Bam like his feet like fall flat on the floor, like he just gets floored by this fucking hand, mm-hmm. and it's so fucking funny. Yeah, it is missing. Like, the Machine Gun Kelly thing of that is, like, who cares? But
yeah.
Anyway, if you watch all three of them, if you have Paramount Plus, the original three, plus all the little 2.5s and 3.5s, so.
Did you watch those in your rewatch, the 0.5s?
No, I didn't have time. I'm going to go back and do that. Nice. They're usually a little less structured. They're almost more like behind the scenes. Because I've watched Bad Grandpa 0.5.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of like behind the scenes and bloopers and stuff. There's a great scene in that one. I think I may have told you about it or showed it to you, where they're trying to direct Knoxville to like drive a car.
Oh, I've seen that. There's like
a continuity thing, and he's getting relayed like the info, and he just keeps getting alternating info, and it's just the camera on him like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah, I remember that.
Anyway, all right, that's gonna do it for this week. Next week, Cody, we got a busy week.
We do. We have a lot of stuff that's hitting streamers. So we've got Marry Me, the Owen Wilson and J-Lo movie,
mm-hmm.
That will be released in theaters and on Peacock. And then we have Kimmy, which is a Steven Soderbergh movie that is hitting HBO Max.
Oh, yes.
And then there is a comedy movie that is hitting Amazon Prime and theaters called I Want You Back, starring Jenny Slate and Charlie Day.
Yeah, I saw there was a screening for that like a month ago, and then
Yeah, so that's coming out on Prime Video. Don't call it Amazon, but Prime Video on
I'm sorry.
Next week. So, so we've got a lot of stuff out. It's crazy how Steven Soderbergh has now become the guy who churns out like two movies a year on HBO Max after he retired for like a year.
Yeah, this one has Zoe Kravitz. I don't know if there's any. Is there any gimmick to it this time?
I don't think so. I think it's just I don't know if it was. It's another iPhone movie. I thought that he was shooting exclusively on iPhone now, but I don't. I think that that movie he did. What was it? No Sudden Move.
I don't think that was iPhone. Yeah, because like there was the iPhone movie, High Flying Bird, and then. What was the one on the cruise ship? Like it was all shot on a cruise ship. Let Them All Talk.
Oh yeah, I like that movie a lot. Oh, and Derek Delgadio is in Kimmy.
Oh,
like
wow.
Acting.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that's interesting.
Oh man, it's got a crazy like Erica Christensen, who's been, where's she been?
Andy
Robin
Daly.
Givens. Holy shit. Rita Wilson. All right. If you want to reach us, you can email us at podcast@cinesnob.net. You can find us on Twitter @cinesnob, Facebook, cinesnob.net, youtube.com/cinesnob. Anything else, Cody?
No. Good to be back in the saddle.
Again. We say that like every 2 weeks. It's great to be back.
Yeah. Well, it is.
Well, you know, it's going to be, we're starting to get into some more stuff here. I think the Batman, everyone's counting down to the Batman box office wise, so we'll see how
that
goes.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
3 hours long.
I'm ready.
I know you love Matt Reeves, so that's, if it were like Michael Bay, you'd be like, oh, you motherfucker, 3 hours.
I wonder how long, have you seen that, there's a trailer for a new Michael Bay movie coming out with a Jake Gyllenhaal, Ambulance?
I have not seen that.
It looks so Michael Bay, and I don't know what Jake Gyllenhaal is doing there, but it's 136 minutes long. Just, God damn it, Michael. Michael Bay is incapable of making a 90-minute movie.
Well, got a lot of stuff to blow up. Yeah. All right. On that note, I'm Jared Kingery.
I'm Cody Viafania.
Thank you for listening to the Cine Snob podcast. To read reviews, interviews, and more, visit cinesnob.net. See you next week.